Amen. Well, good morning. Certainly love that song. I learned that song in Mexico when I was there, living with a missionary family. And I remember so many nights. You're out there. We lived out in a little Tarahumara Indian village. You couldn't see a street light. You couldn't hear a noise. And I'd just go out in the dark, go out on the mountainside and just sing that song. I stand in awe of you. This morning I want to talk about having enough. And yesterday we built a ramp for an older feller that was in a car accident. And it was really a blessing. We enjoyed that. It was really just a blessing to be able to do that, to serve him and bless him in that way. And just seeing the the appreciation of the family that they didn't know how they were going to get him in and out of his house. But while we were building the ramp, something interesting happened, and I'm not going to say who planned the ramp or decided how many materials we needed, but but we ran out partway through. We weren't quite done, and we ran out. And, in our day and age in America, and, with the options we have available to us, it wasn't really that big of a deal. I kind of needed a break anyway, so I jumped in the truck, turned on the AC, and I drove to Tulsa and grabbed the materials and brought them back. It wasn't a big deal in that particular instance. But as we look in the Word of God, we see warnings about counting the cost, about preparing, about having enough, because guess what? There's coming a day when Christ, when God is going to judge the world, and if you don't have enough at that point, spiritually speaking, there's no, oh, I'm going to run, just get a little extra quick. It's too late. And this morning I want to look at Luke chapter 14 to begin with. Luke chapter 14 will begin with verse 27 and go through verse 30. In Luke chapter 14, verse 27 through 30, he says, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Jesus here is speaking and he's laying out some of the costs, some of what it's going to take, some of what you're going to need to have willing and ready and able to invest in order to be his disciple. He says you have to be willing to bear your cross and come after me. He says in verse 28, he says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish." And Jesus here is giving an example or an allegory or a parable of starting out your Christian life, starting out saying, yeah, you know what? This sounds like a good idea. Jesus, I'll follow you. But not counting the cost. Not realizing it's going to cost, it's free, it's a free gift, but it will cost me everything. Amen. Not being ready or willing to say, yes, Lord, whatever you want, that's what I'll do. And there comes a point in this person's life, in this parable Jesus told, where he runs out. He doesn't have enough. And he's not drawing more from Christ Jesus. And he's not ready to make the sacrifice that's needed. And he just quits. And Jesus says here, "Everyone that passes by and beholds it begins to mock, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish." And truly, there is no harsher mockery, I don't think, that you can receive from the world than when they either falsely or correctly see and believe that you intended to follow God and you're not living up to your profession. Whether they are actually right or not, that's a they very you tend to get very harsh judgment for that. And not completely unmerited. Because if you're going to start out and build a tower, well, take the time, think it through, do your figuring, do your planning, figure it out first. Don't come to Christ, say, Lord, you can be the boss and master and king of my life, and then 5 minutes later you go, you know what, I'm not sure I like what you're asking me to do. I'm not sure I like to do what I'm supposed to do. Well, you should have thought through and realized and paid attention and prayed and studied and taken it in and realized what was going to be expected of you before you made the statement, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus. Are you actually willing to follow him all the way through? Are you actually willing to bear your cross, as Jesus says, and come after me? In Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 through 13, we have another parable here of a similar nature. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 through 13. Jesus speaking again, he says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Where watch, therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Many times I think people get this idea, this flowery idea and picture in their head of what life as a Christian, what life with Christ is going to be like. And yeah, you know what? That's great. I'm going to have my own personal genie in a bottle, so to speak. I can just pray and ask whatever I want in his name and he'll give it to me. And, you know, who doesn't want to go to heaven? Who wants to go to hell? Honestly, if you really know anything at all about them, you don't want to go to hell and you definitely want to go to heaven, right? So, great, let's jump on the bandwagon. But Jesus has numerous times promised us there will be difficulties. And these virgins, these 5 foolish virgins, they were prepared to come, to have sufficient oil to come, to show up to the event, to have their lamps going, and to walk right in and to then enjoy the whole bridal ceremony with their lamps burning. But they didn't realize they were called to a time of testing. They didn't realize it doesn't happen overnight. They didn't realize that life doesn't go from I accepted Jesus and now I'm in heaven without a period of time of testing and trials and hardships. Record of a man who skipped that part. And that was the thief on the cross. And that was a special exception. And he was already suffering pretty badly when he came to Christ. But these 5 foolish virgins, they were prepared for the ceremony. They were prepared for showing up to the event. But they weren't prepared for the patience that was needed. They weren't prepared to endure. They hadn't counted the cost, and they ran short. When it came time when the bridegroom was coming, they'd already spent all they had just waiting around, trying to push through and eke out just a little bit more. How sad it is to see people come towards the end of their life and they're spent. They're giving up. They're like, you know what? I've lived my whole life pursuing towards this goal and I'm just not sure if it's worth it anymore. They didn't have enough. They didn't count the cost. They didn't have enough oil in their lamps. And Jesus' admonition here to us is, watch, therefore, or stand guard, for you know not, you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. But you do know this. You do know that you need to be patient and wait and be strong and be on guard and hold fast until then. And it's not going to be just, all right, I started on this path and now I've arrived. No, it takes time. There's long stretches of dry period where there aren't any oil sellers, so to speak. You and I must learn to draw this strength from Christ, but we also must take the time, count the cost, and then fully commit. And when we commit, stick to it. Stick to it. In Isaiah chapter 40, this is a very well-known passage, but I want to look at it anyway. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 through 31. He says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding." It's interesting, as he's getting ready to give us some encouragement here, he takes a moment first to pause and to remind us who's providing this encouragement. It's the everlasting God. The everlasting God. The Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, the one that made everything. This is who's speaking. This is who you're to draw from. He doesn't have a shortage of supplies. He doesn't have a shortage of strength. If I draw from any other source, I will run out. I will run dry. But as he's getting ready to give us some encouragement and some challenge here, he starts off by reminding us who it is that we're to receive this from. The everlasting God, the one that never ends and never fails. The Lord, the Master, the King. And not only that, but the Creator of everything, the Creator of the ends of the earth. And guess what His characteristics are? He fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching or digging around trying to figure out how much understanding God has. You'll never be able to discover it all because it's far beyond you, what you can ever discover. There's no searching of His understanding. You're never going to comprehend it all. This is the God now who He says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard?" This is what He has available. He giveth power to the faint. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. But you have to come to Him. He's the source. He's the source. He's not going to run out, but you will if you're not drawing from Him. He gives power, though. This is what He specializes in. He gives power to the faint. He gives strength to those that have no might. He increases strength. You don't have to already be pretty much okay to be a candidate for His strength and His grace and His mercy and His power. In fact, you being faint and you needing more strength desperately makes you a prime candidate, because that's exactly the kind of person that He takes care of. If you will come to Him and cast your cares on Him. Cast yourself on His mercy. It's not to those who think they've got enough. It's not to the strong, but to the faint. It's to those who have no might. To those He increases strength. And He goes on in verse 30. He says, even the youths will faint. This journey is too long, even for the tough young guys. Even the youths will faint and be weary. Do you think you can do it? Do I think I can do it? Not without the Creator of the ends of the earth, who doesn't faint or grow weary. The youths will faint. The strongest men that we have, the most vibrant, the most full of vitality, they're going to faint. But God doesn't. They're going to get weary. They're going to fail. But God doesn't. The youths, even the youths shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. There's fresh supply each day. It's renewed, it's refilled. It's like every morning if you got up and you went out to get in your vehicle and the gas tank was topped back up again. It's a fresh supply again. It reminds me of the story of the prophet going through the drought, through the dearth, and he shows up to this little widow woman who has just a little tiny handful of flour left and a little bit of oil. And he says, would you make me something to eat? She said, I don't have anything but this tiny little bit. And I was going to make it for me and my son to eat, and then we're going to die. He said, make mine first. My God will supply. And guess what? Every morning when she woke up and she went into her pantry, her strength was renewed. That supply was renewed again for that day. That is the picture here that is given, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It's a fresh supply every day, just what you need. There's a fresh supply. It will renew their strength. It's revigorating. It's enlivening. It's refreshing. It's not enough to carry me for the next 40 years, but it renews my strength for today. It's more than enough for today. And guess what? Tomorrow, God has a supply waiting to renew my strength for tomorrow. For its troubles and its trials. They that wait upon the Lord. You have to come back and get it fresh from Him. You have to come back. Say, Lord, I need more help. I need more strength. I need more grace. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Sometimes the running is the easy part, isn't it? But the walking, oh, it gets so tedious. When I'm in the middle of a battle, sometimes it's easier to stand strong, but the faithfulness in the little things, day to day, many times that's where you and I stumble and fall. It's the walking. When it's time to run, sometimes I can summon up and find enough energy and I can take off and run when I really realize there's a need. But where am I going to find the strength to plod along faithfully, to walk and walk and walk and walk? When I'm going through the desert, when I'm not faced with something big and scary that causes a a flight or fight response in me that causes my adrenaline to spike so I can have enough to do it. Where am I drawing the strength from? For the plodding, for the walking. It must come from God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He never faints. He never grows weary. He never runs out. But we must wait on him. We must come, return to him, and have our strength renewed again, and come back again, and have our strength renewed again. Top me up. Top up my tank, Lord. I'm running a little low. Top up my tank, Lord. He doesn't run out. James tells us, if you lack wisdom, ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He's not going to chide you that you just were. Wait, weren't you the one that was just here yesterday and asked for strength? Why are you back again? I already gave you some yesterday. I mean, try to stretch it out a little bit. No, he doesn't ever chide us. He never runs out. If I'm worried that I'm going to run out, yeah, I'm going to be a little stingy with it whenever somebody comes back again and again and again and again, keep on asking. But if I know my supply is endless, sure, go ahead. No problem. You want some more? God's supply is endless. And he has no shortage, no lack. He doesn't worry about whether he's going to have enough strength to go around. He's got more than enough. If you and I don't, it's because we're not drawing from his. We're trying to make this tank last us and hope we can get to the next gas station. In Hebrews chapter 10, not sure if that's the right passage. Let me check real quick. Sorry. All right, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34 through 39. He says, "For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance." Amen. The stuff that's here, you were happy to give. You were happy to give because you knew you had a bigger supply to draw from. In heaven, an enduring substance. Verse 35, he says, "Now, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." How sad and miserable it would be to have gotten part of the way, run out of patience, and not receive the reward for all of that up to this point. He says, you have need of patience, that after you've already done the work, you have the patience to wait until you receive the promise, until you receive the reward. You have need of patience. Don't cast away your confidence. Yes, things get thin. Things get difficult. But don't cast away your confidence, which has a great recompense of reward. But he says you have need of patience. You have need of patience so that after you have done the will of God, you might also receive the promise. You have need of patience to carry you through that, those stretches in between the times of obvious battle where, wow, I drew from the Lord the strength I needed and I got a victory. But what is the reward of that victory if during the difficult times the worms eat away all of my reward? You have need of patience. You have need of patience. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We're not going to be part of that group that draws back. He says, come on, brothers and sisters. Let's go forward. Let's not be part of that group that draws back. The just shall live by faith. That's walking and continuing on, even when you don't see it, even when you don't feel it, even when it gets long and weary, and you're walking and walking and walking. The just shall live by faith. And here he just states the confidence that he has in them. He says, we aren't going to turn back. We are not going to be part of them that turn back, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We're going to continue on to that ultimate day of complete salvation when we're not only saved from the power of sin, but we're saved from the presence of sin, and we're saved from this old vile world, and we're saved from this filthy earthen vessel that keeps on trying to drag us back down and drag us back down and drag us back down. We're going to believe all the way through to the saving of the soul. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 through 8, Paul here is speaking to Timothy, and Paul is nearing the end of his life, and he says, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I'm almost at the end. My time's almost here. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I've hung on to it. Even through those difficult times, I've kept on walking all the way to the end of the course. I didn't sit down halfway through and expect that I was going to get a free ride to the rest of the way. I've kept on going. I've kept on fighting the good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept on. I've plodded through. I've gotten through to the end. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Timothy, and all of my brothers and sisters following along after me, not just for me, but for you too. If you will fight the good fight, if you will continue through and push on and finish the course, if you will keep the faith, this crown of righteousness is laid up for you too, for all them that love his appearing, all of them. There's enough to go around. It's waiting there for you. Press on. And finally, I want to look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. So easily beset us. And the older I get, the more I feel that. Man, it's easy. Isn't it just really easy to just kind of give up and go along with things that you shouldn't. It's really easy. The sin that does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. This isn't a sprint. You don't need patience to run a sprint. This is a marathon. Run with patience the race that is set before us. Where am I going to find the strength for that? Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The author and finisher. He started it. He's going to provide all you need through it, and he's going to bring you to the end. But you got to keep looking to him. You got to keep looking to him. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is our example. He did it. Now, look to him. He's already done it. He's already walked the road. He's already walked the way. He's laid the path out all the way through to setting down on the right hand of God. He's laid it out. We can see it by his example, how to go. Now, looking to him who is the author and the finisher. The author and the finisher. Looking to him to renew our strength. Looking to him to draw what we need to run this race with patience. You don't usually think of a race needing patience, do you? But this race needs patience. Because this race isn't a sprint. This race isn't going to be done in 5 minutes. This race, you can't just grit your teeth and push on through for a little bit longer and somehow dig up a little reserve from somewhere inside. You will fail. Because guess what? You might be able to dig that up to push through for another 5 minutes. What about after that? You still got, we don't know how many years to go yet. How many years do I still have in my race? I don't know. But if I somewhere muster up and grab my own bootstraps and muster up the energy to run for 5 more minutes, what then? What then? Because that's probably not going to be the end of my race. It's probably not going to end in 5 minutes. You have need of patience so that you can finish well. It's not enough to get most of the way well. Finish well. That at the end of your race, you can say with Paul, I fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I've done it all that God asked me to do. I'm at the end now. I've been faithful. I've kept the faith. I've hung on to it. I've clung to it. I've clung to him. I've continued to look to Jesus. I've kept the faith. I've made it. I'm at the end now. You won't make it without him. This morning I want to challenge each one of us to continue regularly looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He has the strength to run with patience the race set before you. He has the strength to run and not grow weary. He has the strength to walk and not faint. He has the strength to mount up on wings as eagles. He has the strength to top up your tank every day. You need it more often than every day? Go ahead and ask. He's not stingy. He'll top you up again every 5 minutes. Some days I need that. but continue steadfastly looking to Him. Just as the children learned this morning in Sunday school, did you get healed from the snake bite just because there was a snake on a pole in the camp? No, you had to look at it. You had to look at it. And if you got bit again tomorrow, you had to look at it again. You couldn't look at it once and that was enough for the rest of your life. You had to look and look again and look again every time that you were bitten by a snake. Guess how often you and I get bitten by the snake of sin and have to look again to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Father, I pray this morning that we would fix our eyes steadfastly on you. Lord, that we would learn to draw from you all that is needed. Lord, that we would run with patience the race that is set before us, that we would finish this race well, that we would finish this race still holding fast the faith, still depending on you and leaning on you, and still walking steadfastly forward in you. In Jesus' name, amen.